right now on VFN TV, this shaking that's coming to America. What does it mean to America? What does it mean to the church? And the Johnson Amendment, what does that mean? A nonprofit 501c3, what? Why is the church being held back from speaking its truth over the political atmosphere right now on VFN TV?
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light.
It's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of the voice. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out, warning, warning, red light, warning. People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find him in the church, where are they going to find him?
Got an invitation to come back, and the Lord laid on my heart, and that's when Mr. Tuart asked me about, did you have a dream? And I did. And he told me about the coming storm. And as I'm about to go into prayer, I just want to say the Lord laid on my heart. I said, I'm not going to share it unless somebody asks me to come. And where's Commissioner Barry asked me to come. And I said, this is it. I was going to share it. That there's another level about to happen.
Riots are coming. Riots in the streets are coming. And if we're not careful, shortly after the next election, the anger will mount so much that we'll end up having martial law declared. Loss of life is taking place.
If we stay on this road, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be just us morphing into some socialist, type of country. It's going to be, I think, worse than what was experienced in Nazi Germany. In dialogue, trying to understand, because I believe what happened there was a dress rehearsal for what the devil's trying to do in the whole world.
I think the way the world is going, the way the U.S. is going, I think there's going to come a time, and it's probably going to be sooner than later, when what I do in a public forum is going to be labeled as a hate crime.
Some disturbing news from Russia. President Vladimir Putin signed a law outlawing evangelism and cracking down on house churches. The laws forbid evangelism outside of churches and other religious sites. That means people can't even share their faith in their homes or even on the internet.
Well, you don't think God could put a tyrant over America? You don't think God could put a tyrant that oppresses the church? What have we been doing? What have we been doing as a church?
Our power doesn't come from some self-declared savior promising that he alone can restore order as long as we do things his way. We don't look to be ruled.
God is just. You think this last 7 years has been tough? This 8 years have been tough? That's just Jehoiakim. Zedekiah is right on the precipice of coming to pass in this nation.
He's not going to make it through the times that are coming without being his disciples and more. Without growing up into our purpose.
And that so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. If you've noticed it, maybe you have, there's a shaking that's going on in the world, in America, in government, in education, in business, in law. What's taking place? What is happening with this shaking? I like what Lance Wall knew when he was being interviewed on the Jim Baker Show, what he had to say about it, because understand this, that it's a promise to the church, God's people, that God's going to shake things, but it has nothing to do with disciplining the church. As a matter of fact, God is shaking things into its place so he can do exactly what he said he's going to do. Let's go there now. Take a look. Lance Wall now.
And I believe that when the shaking happens, what happens is, here's the important thing. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
However, in Hebrews, it's called, yet once more has God promised. What we have to do is reframe how we see this. So that we see that the shaking is a promise. And that means that it's a threat only to God's enemies. It's a promise to God's people. Mm-hmm. So if we position ourselves for the shaking before the shaking happens, then everything that shakes out is that which is militating against the kingdom of God so that the unshakable people of God can advance in the midst of shaking.
Mm-hmm.
We should be looking at the shaking differently. And, you know, 9/11, I did a study on emotional intelligence when I was doing training for businesses. And there was in one of the towers on the 22nd floor that the elevator got locked as the plane hit the building. And everybody was on their cell phones, all the business guys with their Gucci bags calling their assistants, get the elevator working. They didn't know a plane had hit the building. But, there was a window washer who was there. And the window washer didn't have anything in common with the economic status of all these big shot bankers. But he took his mop and he jammed it into the elevator door and pried it open. And it was locked up against drywall right between two floors. And now they're getting feedback. It seems like a plane might have hit the building, like the electric system is out. The window washer breaks the mop and takes the handle. Pounds on the drywall till he hears a hollow spot, carves a hole in the hollow spot, kicks it in and says, if I'm not mistaken, this is a men's room being constructed on the 21st floor. I think we're right there. He kicks a hole through and pushes every one of those bankers through that.
Wow.
Then they're out in the hallway with the lights going on and the dust everywhere. He says, follow me, hand on shoulder. He takes them out and they work their way out through the staircase just in time, as the building collapses, they're all driven onto the ground, but they all lived.
Wow.
And I asked somebody, wow. I said, what does that tell you? It tells you that in the midst of a crisis, the person who knows what to do automatically is the leader.
Mm.
Whoa.
So what we are doing with your show and the direction you're intuitively going in right now, is you're like the window washer in the elevator. And you're the one that God has anointed to say, let's do this and let's do this, let's do that. And all that the window washer did, and that's what emotional intelligence is, used the tool that was at hand to go to the next logical step.
Yeah.
And so shaking is coming to America. But if the people of God will organize themselves and prepare themselves. This would be what Churchill, I have Churchill's original books in my library, and his original books of the Second World War are prophetic because he was a Cyrus. And where we are right now is the gathering storm. It's the book he wrote about what he saw coming. Then he had the book which was called the Grand Alliance, which is when believers came together. And then it was their finest hour, which was when a remnant was able to turn back the Luftwaffe over Germany. I think where we are right now is in a place where we know there's a gathering storm. The question is, will we have leadership in the White House that is going to know intuitively how to respond and navigate through the shaking? Or will we end up with somebody who hasn't got a clue, driven by a system that is only going to take over more power and control and diminish the freedom of the church in that crisis?
So important.
Very sober. It's a very sober. So this is the moment to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, shaking is for the purpose of removing things that are militating against the kingdom of God. And if we respond right, we will take territory during shaking that we never took before. That's why it's important to be listening right now to people like Jim Baker. And as I said before the broadcast, Psalm 105, I was praying about this ministry last night. The Lord said that God said he sent Joseph down into Egypt to position him to come up into a position of influence before Israel went into its crisis. So God takes some prophetic leaders down into a situation where they come up ruling on the other side, so they've got a pathway to show other people how to get out of the elevator and make it safe.
Wow.
That's exactly what Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, where he says it's a promise to us, to God's folks. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at that and read it now.
At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
You think about it, it's a promise. It's a promise to us from God that he's shaken the earth into conformity to what he wants to come to pass. We're watching people blown around like the wind, like paper in the wind. But I want to tell you, you know, just like Lance Wanda was talking about, you know, we think about VFN, you're seeing right here, VFN Kingdom Business, VFN Dream Center. We've been positioning ourselves for quite some time because God has let us know in advance prophetically what's about to happen. And you can position yourself to be a part of what God's going to do. I want to encourage you, if you're not yet positioned and you haven't positioned yourself, or if you want to be a part, go to vfnkb.org or the VFN Dream Center and find out. We will help you find your place in the season to come because great things are about to happen. This shaking that's going on, look at people. This is not what they actually would want to be happening in their life. But you know what? God's way is going to happen no matter what. So this shaking, we can be that window washer if we know what to do with emotional intelligence, which means how to be able to use what God gave us to be able to get to the next level. It's very exciting. Listen, we're going to go to this break and we're going to come back and find out, you know, what does this Johnson Amendment have to do and how is it restricting the church where you can't say what you want to say about the government, about political situations, or even about a candidate maybe that you want to be able to support. We'll find out more after this break. Join us after the break.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Everybody yes. will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now, learning how to abide with God is so important because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step
beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king
since his kingdom is manifesting, right. It's be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth is about to happen. You want to know the king.
World and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It's exciting, isn't it, Steve, when we get to find out about this shaking is not about us.
Yeah, you can be encouraged in that.
You can be encouraged in that, but it is happening. As we talked about in the previous program, the wind of God, you got to catch that program, the prophetic wind of God. It's been blowing in heaven for like 7 or 8 years, and it's about to come and hit the earth and blow the earth. But we're seeing it now. Brett Holderbaum's prophetic word about Washington, D.C., that that wind, we're watching that wind blow now. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we always think so physical, but you're watching things spiritually be blown all over the place, right? Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it?
Well, that's a huge thing. It's like you're seeing things that people think there's an expectation, but come to find out that it's going in an entirely different direction, and you're finding out this is way bigger than what I thought was going to be happening. God is in control. He can do whatever he wants to do.
I mean, things like... The FBI is being blown around. Yeah. Congress is being blown around. The president's being blown around. Presidential candidates are being blown around. I mean, everything's being blown around except one particular candidate's hair. It just kind of just stays there. That's amazing stuff. Listen, so one particular thing that we're noticing, and you hear people all the time talk about, they say, listen, we cannot be politically active. If we share any opinions as the church, then they will take away our nonprofit status. That comes from what's called the Johnson Amendment. And Johnson is President LB Johnson,
LBJ. Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah, Lyndon B. Johnson. He had a particular, we'll talk about it. That's what we're going to talk about. But understand this, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the nonprofit IRS 501c3 ruling that says that if you actually support one candidate for office, you'd be in violation of the IRS amendment, nonprofit status, 501c3. But the truth is, that wasn't the original intent of our nation. And the First Amendment says that you shall make no laws concerning the church. But let's go. As a matter of fact, we're going to hear right now Alan Barton, Kenneth Copeland, and Bishop Keith Butler talk about the Johnson Amendment and how we have to begin to change it. And I know that they're even talking about doing away with it in this next presidential term. It can change everything. Wow. Let's go there now.
this subject matter, why we're here, because it is extremely important. And the part that Satan was able to get the church to get out of politics and don't be involved in politics and ministers never say anything about it, all that was of the devil is what contributed to us being where we are now.
I want you both to address that. I want us to address that because I really believe that the church has got to come into a new place where this is concerned. We've all been afraid to say anything because of the Johnson Amendment, because of the 501c3. And what I read in the Republican Party was that they were going to abolish that.
Yes.
They were going to get rid of that.
Yes.
You better explain what the Johnson Amendment is, because most preachers don't even know what the Johnson Amendment is.
Well, you go ahead and explain the Johnson Amendment. I mean, I looked it up, but I understand that the Johnson Amendment prevents us from getting into a pulpit and expressing a political opinion about a candidate or about a belief concerning that.
It's interpreted to be broader than that. What happened was back when Lyndon Baines Johnson was running for U.S. Senate in 1954, there were two groups here in Texas that took out a lot of money to run ads against him because of morals and behavior, and he had bad morals and bad behavior, and they did that, but he didn't like being criticized. Mm. So in the Senate, in an appropriations bill, he sticks a rider on an appropriations bill that was never voted on. It ran through and says, if you're a 501c3, you can't say anything about political people. Well, his intention was not to affect the church. His intention was to affect those, what we would call 527 groups or super PACs. That wasn't what they were called back then, but that's what they were. And they were two critics of his, and he wanted to shut them down. Well, number one, that's bad policy, that because you get criticized, you shut somebody else's free speech out. Number two, it was never voted on the Senate. It just stuck on as a rider, and it went through. But about 10 years later, IRS goes, my gosh, look at this. Churches are 501c3s too. We can apply this to churches. They can't say anything about anything political. Yeah, they can. Because under the Constitution, see, that's why people need to understand that today, when a church gets a 501c3 letter, it's called a letter of recognition. It doesn't grant anything. Right. It recognizes that you're a church. You're already a church. And the reason we don't tax churches, the reason they're tax exempt, John Marshall, founding father, gave back 200 years ago, and he said the power to tax is the power to destroy. When we want to get rid of cigarettes, we make a $6 a pack tax and we get rid of them. Well, if you can tax the church, you can destroy the church. You can cut out their free speech. And so tax exemptions exist to give freedom from government regulation. Well, guess what? In the Bible, all over the place, God's ministers jump on civil officials. Elijah goes, hey, Ahab, Jezebel, you know, what you're doing, persecution of the Lord's prophets, what you're doing with eminent domain there with Naboth, what you're doing with suborning perjury, bringing false witnesses to the court, God's going to judge you for that. And then John the Baptist comes along and says, Herod, you married your brother's, you can't marry your brother's wife, that's wrong. And all through the Bible, you've got all this stuff going on where the God's people, God's leaders call out the civil officials for wrong. Suddenly in America, we can't do what the Bible says anymore, at least we're told that. So the Johnson Amendment is what is used by the critics to say the church has lost its right of free speech from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. You know what? Unions are 501c3. They endorse all the time, and they speak about anything
every
they
election.
Want to.
Yep.
And we say churches are 501c3s, and they can't do it? So that's what the platform covers, is we're going to get rid of that Johnson Amendment because the church deserves free speech. The church should be able to speak out on any issue it wants to. I'm gonna jump into this for a minute here.
Okay,
guys.
While you're doing that, the Republican platform says places of worship for the first time in our history have reason to fear the loss of tax exempt status merely for espousing or practicing traditional religious beliefs that have been held across the world for thousands of years and for almost four centuries in America. We value the right of America's religious leaders to preach and Americans to speak freely according to their faith. Republicans believe the federal government, specifically the IRS, is constitutionally prohibited from policing or censoring speech, policing or censoring speech based on religious convictions or beliefs, and therefore we urge the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. Well, I've heard you speak about the founding fathers in the early days of this nation and how the political leaders would go to church to hear from the pulpit what to do.
It's worse than that. The church went to the political leaders. Here's a sermon. This is a sermon preached founding year 1796 And it's a sermon preached in front of Governor John Taylor Gilliman and the Council and Senate and House of Representatives, the entire state of New Hampshire. They bring a preacher in to start every legislative session. We did that for 170 years. We brought preachers in to start every state legislative session. Here's a sermon on elections from the pulpit. Here's a sermon preached in front of John Hancock, signer of the Declaration, Sam Adams. They brought him in to speak to the entire Massachusetts legislature. Sermon with him. Here's a sermon on the right uses of the sea. This is a sermon of sailors going out on a ship. Here's a sermon on the transatlantic telegraph. Here's a sermon preached in the U.S. Capitol. This is in the Hall of the House of Representatives. It's called The Imperishable and Saving Words of Christ, delivered in the Hall of the House of Representatives. Here's a sermon on what the military is supposed to do. Here's a sermon on an attack that happened in Lexington. Here's a sermon on earthquakes. Here's a sermon on the Great Fire in Boston. Here's a sermon on solar eclipse. Here's a sermon on the character of our rulers. Here's a sermon on
global warming, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. You know it is. That's what it is. Here's George Whitfield's sermon. Here's another George Whitfield sermon. Here's the liquor law of Massachusetts. Here's one on marriage. Here's one on the Great Bridge. Here's one on the sin of selfishness. Here's one, a sermon on property tax. Here's a sermon on the stamp tax. Here's a sermon on communism and churches. Here's a sermon on Christian and patriotism. Here's a sermon on the Civil War scene from the pulpit. I think we preached about every sermon under the sun, and the Johnson Amendment wouldn't let us do most of these today. And this is history in America, and it's history in the Bible. We've lost our voice.
And in Europe.
We have laryngitis.
In Europe, the reason why it's in such, it's a spiritual wasteland in Europe.
Yeah.
In Europe, that's the first thing they did.
That's right. What you couldn't say out of the pulpit.
Yeah.
That's it. You take that voice.
So can either of you go ahead and encourage pastors? Because the George Barna study that just came out, there are less pastors and ministers this election cycle talking about the election. Because one of the reasons he listed was that he was afraid that people would leave his church.
Yeah.
That's why they don't preach about it.
I want to show you this poll right here. This done recently. I got with George Barna on this. I was on a national TV program, and we were talking about this kind of stuff. So the commentator said, why don't you people that sit in the pews go tell your preacher you want to hear some of this stuff? And he looked at me and said, what should they tell them they want to hear? That's a great question. So I called Barna and said, hey, here's the deal. What do Christians who sit in the pews want to hear from their pastors? Great thought. George put this together, went to field, and called. Now, I'm on the board of a group that does a lot of polling. George does the polling, and they call between 600 and 800 churches every day. 600 and 800 churches a day. 370,000 churches in America. They ask the churches 6 different questions, and from that, they can tell whether they believe the Bible or not. About 28% of pastors in America are Bible-believing pastors. So that's about 100,000 churches, 72% not. Of that 28%, the people who attend those Bible-believing churches went to them and say, you're Bible-believing pastor, Bible-believing church, what do you feel like you really need to hear out of the pulpit? About 150 things came in. Okay, now let's take those 150 things and let's go back and say, out of these 150 things, how do you rate them? The Likert scale is the 5 things. This is not very important to me. This is somewhat important. It's kind of important. This is very important. This is crucial. Mm-hmm. So rank those 150 things. On the issue of very important to crucial, there were 14 issues where 70% of the church said, I've got to hear about this from the pulpit. This is crucial that I hear about this stuff from the pulpit. So here's the issues, and here's the ranks. Now, It's interesting that within this group, this is what Bible-believing people say I'm not being trained on from the pulpit. I got to hear this. Right. Issue number one, 91% of Christians in the pulpit said the pulpit needs to train me on this. And let me say one other thing up front is of the 50 states, politically you can self-identify as conservative, liberal, or moderate. And what you find is there's only 3 states in the United States where conservatives outnumber, only 3 states in the United States where liberals outnumber conservatives. Now, you would never know that by watching news or anything else. You'd think that conservatives are the last remnant. Only 3 states are they outnumbered by liberals?
So you got the cowboys and the hillbillies. There ain't nobody counting them.
well, that's part of it. But the other problem is what we find is that if you're liberal or moderate, you're happy to tell everybody your opinion. Doesn't matter whether it's true or not. You're going to tell everybody your opinion.
Yeah.
Conservatives don't want to tell people their opinion unless they know it's founded on truth and right, because they want to make sure that what they're saying is exactly
mm-hmm.
right. So they're really pretty silent because they're not confident in what they know.
Mm.
And so pro-life people, they go to church, they don't know why they're pro-life, and they don't know how to articulate it, and they don't know how to defend it. And I don't know any Bible verses that deal with pro-life. I'm pro-life, but I can't defend myself. And so what they're asking for is help me understand how to answer these questions. And so the number one issue, 91% of Christians in Bible-believing churches says, I need to hear about abortion, the beginning of life, right to life, contraception, adoption, and unwed mothers. 91%. Number two, 86% of church-going Christians said, I need to hear about religious persecution and liberty. I need to know the personal duty, the government duty, the church response, and the global conditions. And by the way, that is the most unpreached subject right now that's out there, is religious persecution, despite the genocide that we have with ISIS. Number three is poverty. 85% said, train me on poverty. What's my personal duty? What's the government's role? What's the church role? What do we do with homelessness, hunger, dependency? Bible answers all that. But they don't know what to say about it. They've got their opinions, but they don't. Number four is cultural restoration, appropriate morals, law and order, defensible values and norms, and self-government, which is what you were doing with that sermon on police. And here's number five. 82% said, train me on sexual identity. I need to know about same-sex marriage, transgenderism, marriage, LGBT. When they tell me, if two people love each other, why can't they get married? What's my response? How do I respond to that? Because we don't know how to answer. So number six is Israel. 80% said, I need to know more about Israel. I need to know its role in the world. Christian responsibility to Israel. U.S. foreign policy toward Israel. And update me. Give me the information. I'm willing to go out and defend this stuff. I just don't know what to say. That's what they're asking the pulpit to do. Now, I can go through the others. That's the top six. And there's 14.
Can you get that online? Is that available online?
If you go to wallbuilders.com.
This is so important. As a matter of fact, we're going to make the entire survey available to you at vfntv.com on the VFN Torch. We're going to continue. How is this Johnson Amendment? 16. It's about the second coming of our Lord, the secret power of lawlessness, and the man of lawlessness being held back to that proper time. Yep. There's nothing more exciting than to share about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, yet it will come on the hills of the great lawlessness taking place on the earth and the man of lawlessness being loosed upon the face of the earth. In this message, you'll discover how so many of the signs are being quickly fulfilled that say the season of our Lord's coming is near, while being reminded that not even Jesus knows that time, only the Father knows that time. And you'll also finally understand the urgency of now, how important it is to be about the Father's business and letting everyone know about the love of God, that so they could spend an eternity with Him. That's right, it's offer 2016. The title of this particular gift for you is The Second Coming of Our Lord, The Secret Power of Lawlessness, and the Man of Lawlessness Being Held Back Until the Proper Time. You can partner by going to vfntv.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompts, or you can write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call. That's 844-408-3688, and that's offer 2016. Thank you for your partnership.
Conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
Can religious practices be mandated in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
The school district where my kids go to school want to pass more or less a rule or an ordinance which would force the children to participate in prayer, which I'm a deacon in the church, I've been a Christian all my life, but I have a very severe problem with forcing children to participate in prayer that pretty obvious some of them don't want to participate in.
Well, number one, the school district doesn't need to be introducing an ordinance requiring a school prayer because, number one, that's unconstitutional. The court did say that the Constitution nor the Supreme Court precedents prohibits students from praying before, after, or during the school day, but it cannot be compelled. And the requirement that it be compelled or required participation would make it unconstitutional.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
April Sandberg from Wasilla, Arkansas, is a staff member. The word today is release. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. April, I've known a lot of people that didn't understand or have the ability to release problems in their lives, unresolved conflicts and issues in their lives. And instead of letting them go, instead of forgiving, instead of turning the other cheek or walking the second mile, they've held on to grudges. They've held on to times when they were not favored or that somebody, quote, did them wrong or did them in. And I've watched those people. As they continue their journey of life, the burdens get heavier on them. They bog themselves down until at a time they can no longer move. Why? Because they've allowed things to be piled into their life that they never learned to let go. I discovered a long time ago that you have to give up to go up. You have to release to be successful. You can't climb to the top carrying all that stuff with you. Let it go. And then travel light and travel far.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That is so important. You know, we just heard, you know, Maxwell talk about let it go. Mm-hmm. You know, forgiving folks. So many people think that they're punishing people by holding unforgiveness to them, but yet they're the ones being tormented. Their lives being terrible. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Let it go. We'll talk more about that later on, but let's go back and let's hear what Alan Barton has to say. David Barton is talking about this Johnson Amendment and how it wasn't like this. Mm-hmm. You know what? Believe again that we can get back to the original tent of our nation and be free again to be able to speak the truth again. Let's go back.
I can go through the others. That's the top six. And there's 14.
Can you get that online? Is that available online?
If you go to wallbuilders.com, we have this, what God's people want to hear. Right. Now, then we went to pastors and said, do you talk about any of this stuff at all? And so when we got to pastors and asked them whether they talked about this or not, let me get over to the pastor numbers. Pretty interesting. Number one on the issue, 91% of people said I need to hear about abortion. 59% of pastors have mentioned abortion from the pulpit, but when you ask the parishioners, have you heard the pastor talk about abortion? Only 50% have actually heard the pastor talk about abortion, which means he made a passing comment of 3 seconds, only talked about it once in the last 4 years, and they had missed church that Sunday. So it's not a theme kind of thing. Number two on that, remember number two on the list was religious persecution. That didn't even show up when pastors talking about it at all, not even there. Same-sex marriage was number five on the list. 67% of pastors said they've talked about it, but only 46% of people in pews heard them talk about it. So, I mean, we've got this big disconnect between what the Bible says. Now, went back, Barna recently went back with, I think, the poll you're talking about, because went back to these guys and said, you 28% of pastors that say you believe the Bible, do you think the Bible addresses the issue of immigration? Do you think it addresses the issue of abortion? Does it address marriage? Does the Bible address transgenderism? Does the Bible address economics? 2 dozen issues, and between 91 and 97% of those pastors said, yes, the Bible addresses it. All right, that's good news for us. Then the next question was asked, are you going to speak about any of those things? 90% of those guys said, no, I will not talk about those issues. Whoa, between 91 and 97% of you just said the Bible talks about it, but 90% of you said you're not going to talk about what the Bible talks about? That's in our Bible-believing churches. And so that's the issue we face, and that's where Christians have got to be equipped. Pastors,
yeah,
Jesus said, feed my sheep. Pastors need to step up and feed the sheep. They're begging for food. I mean, get some backbone. Step up, do this kind of stuff. Johnson Amendment needs to go away.
The reason why that is because of fear.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a fear of particularly two issues. One, that if you if you preach this kind of stuff, you will lose members over it. I have lost thousands of members.
You've lost thousands, brother.
Out of doing that.
But they, okay, so I know it's true. Another group that comes back in.
But that gets back to who's Lord.
That's right.
See? Mm-hmm. So if Jesus is Lord, and of course the word kurios, Lord, means controller. Mm-hmm. If he's the controller of you and you're the shepherd of the sheep, you're going to have to give an account to Jesus whether or not you allowed him to control you or your fear. And the other fear is if I lose the members, then that means then I don't get the tithes and offerings.
And that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Because it was sin. Yeah. It was sin not to obey God. Wow. And the love of money was the root of the evil.
That's right.
See, it comes down to that. And you think God's not going to deal with you about that matter. And that's one reason why preachers die prematurely. A lot of the stuff happens because of the unwillingness to do what they are called to do. You are going to, in our position, if you teach the truth, you are going to have some hits. So what? I was going through the Word.
Ain't nothing new about that.
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah. I was going through the Word of God, looking at it. In fact, I was in Greece about 2 months ago while walking through the steps of Paul. And I actually saw the terrain. I watched the terrain that Paul actually walked and went through. And then read, he talked, and I went to ancient Corinth and these places, perils of robbers.
Yeah.
Perils of wild animals. And you look at the terrain, and let me tell you something. I looked at that and I went, oh man, I'm such a weasel. I mean,
what a whip.
You see what this guy did.
I couldn't carry his books, man.
And then you read the Philippians 4, you know, I received an offering from Epaphroditus, the things you sent for me, an offering this week. Well, in order to bring the offering to Paul, Epaphroditus had to walk through these mountains with robbers who would kill you and lions who would eat you and all the stuff and go through these mountains and this terrain even to bring the offering to Paul.
But.
Yeah,
that's verse 19. He didn't lose his 501c.
Then Paul said, of course,
stupid, isn't it?
My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, because they were willing to put their necks on the line to get the gospel to others, God was filled to the full your every need according to his riches and glory, which is the Holy Spirit, will get involved and make sure that your needs are met, not the tithes and offerings from your church.
That's right.
And see, so it's going to be a lot of ministers going to be in trouble, I think, and are in trouble. And stand before God for not telling the people the truth. See, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to make some people mad, you're going to lose some members over it, and you may lose some offerings, or then God will just show you, give you miracles.
Can I throw out a litmus test on this? Because you hit something that just sounded something to me. Remember Jesus said the difference between a shepherd and a hireling?
Yep.
Is a shepherd's willing to throw himself in front of the danger between the flock and the danger, and a hireling sees the danger and runs from it.
Yeah.
And here comes transgenderism. Oh, I'm going to keep my mouth shut there. Throw yourself in front of the danger. Here comes same-sex marriage, or homosexuality, or LGBT.
We live for the gospel. Whatever happened to dying for it?
That's uncomfortable. Let's not do that.
We're supposed to live by faith and die by faith.
Yeah. Well, and
Bishop, you're right, brother.
It's absolutely the truth. It's there.
You know, in 1 Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. Okay? But people don't read the rest of that. Yeah. And lay hold on eternal life, put spiritual things above natural things, whereunto you are called, that's your calling, and has professed a good profession or acknowledgement before many witnesses. The next verse says, Jesus professed a good profession before Pontius Pilate.
Yes, he did. Yes, yes.
Oh, then you go back to Matthew 11, okay, I believe it is, and then you read Jesus' confession before Pontius Pilate. Jesus acknowledged me. He said, you said you're the Son of God. Remember, Pontius Pilate's the government. And the government has power to execute and do various things to you, right? And he asked, are you the Son of God? You say I am. Mm-hmm. In other words, he wasn't afraid of the government. He wasn't afraid of what other consequences are. He was going to follow what his father told him to do. That's the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
That's the real good fight of faith. Okay. And it's too much wimpism in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, Jesus said, you're not above me.
Yeah.
They persecuted me. Get used to
Absolutely.
It. And if you're running from that, then you, you think you're above Jesus. And you
we're not having to deal with lions eating us on the trail or people cutting our heads off and
we
all that sort of stuff.
We just have to deal with social media.
We got to deal with social media. You know,
the answer to that is don't read it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. See, we're wimps and can't take social media? And they were dealing with lions?
Man, well, John the Baptist, he says here in Luke 3, it says, verse 10, the people asked him, saying, what shall we then do? He preached to the people. Then in verse 12, then came the publicans or the tax collectors or the government came to him, saying, Master, what shall we do? Then in verse 14, the soldiers, the military, said likewise, demanding, what shall we do? So he was reaching into all of these areas that we should be reaching into. And I want you to pray.
But remember, in verse 16, he remembered his 501c3 and retracted all that stuff.
No.
I'm sorry, it's not verse 16.
No.
That's only in America.
No, he said 16. In verse 16, I baptize with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I want you to pray right now for all of those of us who are in the ministry. Yeah. Pray over us. We need to be emboldened. We must be emboldened.
Yes.
To be able to take this to our congregations.
Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savior, it's not good for anything but to be walked on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of walking going on in the body of Christ simply with this issue right here. And the shepherds are the first line of defense.
It's so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have ever thought that, you know, God has called us. Think of what he told Paul when he saved Paul, Saul to Paul, you know, and Ananias went to him to be able to pray for him. And the Lord told him, he says, I'm going to show you some things that you must suffer for me. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Some things you must suffer for me. We have preached a gospel in America that's absent of suffering. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the first little friction that takes place, people go, well, that's not God.
I run from it.
You know, if I can't play, it ain't God, right? Where's the fun in this, right? I mean, it's people who think like that. Believe it or not, people actually do think like this, right? They do think like this. Mm-hmm. I was just hearing this morning. Anyway, so you think about this, that Jesus said a student will not be treated any better than their teacher. So when we actually follow the teacher, we follow and do what Jesus said do, we're going to experience what Jesus experienced. We like the idea of like, that means we're going to have miracles? Yeah. Healing, signs, wonders, the power of God, and the advancement of the kingdom. But yeah, persecution comes with that too. God spoke to me in a night vision. He showed me this particular lady, and she had a big hump in her back, like just big, like growth or just a big hump in her back. And we had this large religious gathering of people there. I was speaking at this gathering. It's in this vision. And my heart was just moving with compassion with her, over her. And I said, ma'am, come forward up here, you know. And I put my hand on her shoulder and I put my hand on her back and I was fixing to press her back. This bump, God was just like, push this bump and God was going to deal with it and healed her back. All of a sudden, a large percentage of the people who were gathered there, the religious folks, they began scattering and doing all kinds of things. You know why? Because when the true kingdom arrives, when the true power of God arrives, it begins to filter out, you know, who's truly following God? Because why in the world would you want to run from the power of God?
Which kingdom are you of?
Which kingdom of you are? And so I want to encourage you that as we're transitioning in this next season, I believe there's going to be just, historically we have like one or two people that are moving in the power of God. I believe the whole body's going to be awakened and these signs are going to follow you because you believe. What signs? People are being healed. People are being delivered. You know, the things that he talks about in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 on through 20. And Jesus will work with you, confirming his word. It's a very exciting time. But to do that, to understand, but it's going to come with troubles. It's going to come with difficulties. Satan and his captives, those who held captive to do his will, as Paul wrote Timothy about that, he says, gently instruct them in hopes that they would repent and get free from that. But understand this. Somebody's held captive, they're just going to do some crazy things trying to get you to not move in the will and the power of God. That's what's going to set you apart. I mean, you think, I know we're fixing to go to a break, but think about this. When John the Baptist was going through a time of discouragement, after he had baptized Jesus, and he sent his followers out to go find Jesus and ask him the question, are you the one? are you the one? And Jesus didn't say, who does he think he is? What? He knew who I was when he baptized. I am the son. I mean, he didn't do that. He says, listen, he turned quickly, he says, and he began to lay hands on people and heal people and drive out demonic oppression and begin to just move with the power of God. And then he looks back at the people that John the Baptist sent to him and says, go tell him what you saw. Go tell him what you saw. It's time. The world wants to see the fullness of the gospel and the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to see. You know, if you're willing to be a part of what God wants to do in the face of the earth, I'm telling you, this is some very exciting, exciting days. The first thing you can do, you know, is get active. Don't let anybody hold you back. Become a disciple. If you haven't yet become a disciple, you may be a believer, but you haven't been discipled yet. And Jesus said, those who know and follow my teachings are my disciples. We have a simple plan for you. It's at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You just click on Emmaus Road and choose the path that you want to go on. I'm telling you, it just changes your life forever. Well, I got more to talk about, but first we'll go to this break and we'll come back.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The devil's time is running out, and he is doing his best to steal, kill, and destroy as much as possible. People can sense that they're being threatened and wounded, and even born-again believers are fighting over things like government policy, race, and religion. But it's time for a change. It's time for an awakening to God in America. The Faith for Our Nation package offers timely instruction on how to identify and go after what is behind the strife and division. Included is Racism in the Church, Kill the Root, Destroy the Tree, a brand new book by Kenneth Copeland that targets racism, the spirit of division, in a realistic way, and gives you an action plan that comes straight from the Word of God. And one word from God can change your nation. Gain insight on how to pray effectively for your nation. Real unity is only possible through God's love. This is your neighborhood, your nation, your world, and we as believers have been equipped with the spiritual power to rise up on behalf of others. Take a stand. Order the Faith for Our Nation package today.
We are one nation under God that trusts in God. Request your Faith for Our Nation package free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Call 800-600-7395 or visit our website, kcm.org/TV special. It's time to stand up for God and be part of His answer to restore peace and unity in our great nation. Request your free Faith for Our Nation package today. Offer good for 60 days. Request yours today. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I do think it's very interesting to think about the Johnson Amendment, that it's only the organization that's restricted. Mm-hmm. And it's only the pastor or the staff in the context of moving in that organization, the corporation, the nonprofit corporation, if you want to put it that way, or the church. Well, that means your entire gathering, all 2,000, 3,000, 200, 50, whatever, however how many, you're not restricted to anything. You can say anything, anytime. Nobody ever restricted you. Mm-hmm. If you ever have used that as an excuse, I'm telling you, there's no reason. Even a pastor can say, I support this candidate and this is my name. It's just not using the organization necessarily to do it. But understand this, the quietest moment recently in a campaign for somebody who's running for president, the quietest moment was a room full of ministers, maybe 1,000 ministers. And when the particular candidate says, I'm going to have the Johnson Amendment removed, there was no applause. There was no, this is great. They didn't say anything. You know why? Because we don't want conflict. It's an excuse for us not to say things that make people uncomfortable. Mm. Jesus said, don't suppose I came to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. He's not talking about being mean. He's talking about just tell the truth and let it land where it lands.
Well, I think about what they had said before. It's just like it comes back to, you know, if Jesus is Lord, which he is, mm-hmm. and the difference between a shepherd and a hireling, mm-hmm. you know, when danger comes, the shepherd gets in between the flock and the danger, and the hireling mm-hmm. runs from it.
Right.
And it's like in these moments when danger presents itself, now is the time that the true church is going to rise and move boldly in these realities.
Yes, most definitely. And that, so I want to encourage you that nobody's holding you back but you. Mm. It's time to step up. But first, Become Jesus' disciple first. Because if you begin to speak out on issues that you don't have a biblical worldview on, you might be speaking out of preference. I don't like that. I don't think that's good. Which those could line up with what God says in His Word. But find out what the Lord says in His Word. And the first thing that we have to do is begin to live that out ourselves. To begin to walk that out ourselves. We have to be the example. We don't tell people the example. They look at our life and they go, okay, I can watch his life. I can watch her life. And that's what you're supposed to do. That's who you're supposed to be. And that encourages folks because then they say it's doable. You know, that God is empowering you to be able to walk that walk. Becoming the disciple of Jesus Christ is the first thing you do. Right now we have a lot of folks that don't know the teaching. 81% of the people that are Christians in the United States don't even pick up the Bible, but yet we're telling people some biblical sayings or principles or that type of thing. So I just want to encourage you, position yourself to be able to receive from God and begin to speak the truth. As a matter of fact, let's let them who's carried this out close it out in prayer for us.
So, Father,
thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
thank you.
I pray for every shepherd in America. I pray you will open their eyes that they may once again have light, revelation, and understanding, not only just of the word, but also of the consequences to those you set them over. I pray you would strengthen them with might in the inner man and grant them boldness.
Thank you.
Yes.
To stand thank you, Lord.
Once again for you and your word and not fear the face of the people.
Yeah.
I pray
thank you.
That once again you will show them about the riches in glory, the Holy Spirit himself, the wealth as fullness, the valuable bestowment, that through you, Father, their every need will be supplied. Send them financial miracles from the north, the south, the east, and the west,
Jesus.
As they are faithful unto you. You've done it in our ministry, and we thank you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no special favorites except those who will follow you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so I pray for every single shepherd. And I pray you will raise up Bible schools in America that raise up pastors that have this backbone.
Yep.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
In Jesus' authority. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He is a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.